What's up, everybody? Welcome to a very special episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday, July 23rd, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
What's up, Greg?
Not much. What's up with you? Are you having a good time?
And I'm just chilling, you know, having a laid back morning, not up to much.
Yeah, not much going on. I think the biggest news of the day, right, is that you ate a sour plum.
Yeah, it was really sour. I don't know what it was about it, but yeah, I took a bite into it, and I don't think I've ever had a plum that sour.
Yeah, that's
rough. Unfortunate. Yeah, it was very rough.
I don't know what else we'll talk about today, but at least we got that out of the way. next to him, the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globe trotting, head shotting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
I'll tell you what, Greg, nothing better right now than making a thumbnail for the reactions that we just did. And just look it up, Halo imagery, right? Like, I got the best job in the world right now. I got the best job in the world.
Underneath me, Forbes, 30, under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one, at Tim Geddes.
Let's him host.
Also, I do want to bring up, I mentioned it before we were live on the stream, and then Kevin didn't even really listen to me, but then you got up and he mentioned it again. Great job with the shaved sides of your hair.
Oh, no.
No?
Gia fucked it up royally.
What did she do to it?
I'm so happy I have
help. Oh, there's a big gap there.
Yeah, Tim, I'm going to be honest. It doesn't look great.
It looks like you tried to do a purposeful slit in it.
From a distance, it looks dynamite, I think.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
From a distance.
That's the thing.
You know what I mean?
Fashion over function at this point.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then, rounding out our fearsome five, he is the host of the Kind of Funny XCast, our new Xbox podcast you can get each and every Saturday at 6 a.m. on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. It's Snowbike Mike.
Woo! Big team, good morning, everybody. How y'all doing today? Thanks for having me on.
Phenomenal. I'm feeling pretty good, Snowbike Mike, or as I should call you, your given name, Snow Bicycle Michael. Of course, today, ladies and gentlemen, was a date that won't live in infamy. It'll live in glory of, hey, guess what? It's time to talk about Xbox games for the Xbox Series X. Of course, Xbox had their huge showcase. Kind of Funny Games Daily today, acting a bit differently as the post-show to our live reacts. You can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Watch our live reactions to the conference. We started at 8, started early, did all the pre-show stuff, did the whole show itself. By my count here on the Games Daily doc, I saw 28 games throughout the pre-show and the show. I am including two montages in there, though, so I'm not breaking out the games from that. But I digress. Right now, let me get you through housekeeping. Remember, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, maybe you should tune in more often. Maybe you're one of the many, many thousands of people watching the show live right now on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames that aren't here. You can, of course, watch live. You can, of course, go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can be part of the show. And I need you to do that today. Ask your questions in about the Xbox stuff. Get me someone asked to be squatted up on Xbox so they can be the squat up request. But you go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can ask questions about the day's news. You can give us your squad up requests. You can get the show ad-free. You can watch it with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. But if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can go to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch live as we record the show. And you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. So we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. I can't hit the table anymore. Jen yelled at me when I switched to this new desk over the weekend. I pounded the table a lot during interview. I got in trouble.
Happy wife, happy life, Greg.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Happy wife, happy life. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You know. That's why I look at you. That's why you keep my game award so happy on that bed back there. You know, not even looking right there.
On that small purple bed.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, as I said, today is a big Xbox day and it only gets bigger. You can go watch, like I said, the reactions live. You're watching the post shows now. Remember that today, for the first time ever, I start Halo Combat Evolve on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. I'll be playing with Tim. Andy will be there hosting and I'm getting into it. Time to get into it. You know what I mean? I looked at my achievements. I played Halo, 3, 4, and 5. And then I don't have Reach or ODST achievements, but I know I've played one of those.
And by played, you didn't beat. You just dabbled
no,
in.
No, 5 I did. I think
you
4.
You beat 5?
I did. Yeah. I mean, go look at the achievements. They're public. Game over, Greggy. I don't know. They all run together. But there's definitely one where I didn't play all the way through, and then one where I did beat it, and one where the other thing went on. Halo, of course, just whatever. It's just shooting shit. So we'll see if Combat Evolved turns me around on it today. And then remember, Xbox cast, the X-Cast, Kind of Funny X-Cast, Saturday, brand new episode. You can still get your questions in on that one, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can listen to the one and only Snowbike Mike, Gary Whitta, and Alana break down this conference and give their thoughts on it. Remember too, our Ghost of Tsushima spoiler cast is up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services around the globe as a Kind of Funny Games cast. It's there for when you beat the game, so there is no hurry. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed Mohammed, aka Momo, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Klarna, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Two items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
All right, so let's just start it off. It happened, everybody. The Xbox showcase happened. Snowbike Mike, what is your post-game feeling?
Let's break it down in two ways here, Greg. As a gamer, Snowbike Mike the gamer, absolutely loved it, adored it. What a great way to wake up on a Thursday, excited to see new games, excited to think about the next generation. Second part, as an Xbox fan and an Xbox critic here, looking for the future, looking to grow with this team. There are some things missing, but I had a good time all around. Definitely some things to talk about.
Timothy, what's your elevator recap? What did you think?
I honestly think that this was an extremely important showcase, and I think that they did a very great job at defining what Xbox is and will be going forward. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily what I am looking for, and it's not, you know, the PlayStation first party competitor, and I think that that's very okay. I think that and by okay I mean it's a good thing. I think that we are now at a place where Nintendo, Sony and Microsoft all playing very different games, and that's going to make the video game landscape an amazing place. And I think the industry can now be so many different things, and I think evidence of what I'm talking about is Xbox from now on is going to be all about Game Pass. It's going to be all about a bunch of different it's about value, it's about different type of experiences, it's about accessibility, and there's going to be a couple tentpole moments here and there. We saw it with Halo, we saw it with Fable. Something I thought was very interesting is obviously Halo Infinite has had that title for a while, and that kind of stands as a title that could be a platform for years to come. We saw the title Fable, we saw the title just Forza Motorsport. Like, I think that we're starting to get some signs that they're going to look at Game Pass as this thing that they can just grow on in the years to come, and that's exciting for that type of game. But you know, this does show me that I'm not necessarily going to be getting giant franchises that I can like look forward to at every press conference we get from Microsoft for the next couple of years at E3s or whatnot, and that's fine. I think this is a commitment to a vision, and I'd rather them go forward with that, because I feel like I can finally stop comparing them constantly to the other guys because they're doing their own thing.
Andy, do you agree?
Yeah, I do, Greg. I'm still looking for imagery. So sorry, I'm zoning out because the Steam wishlist page has a lot of good imagery for Halo. So I got really excited about it.
Just take your hands off the controls and tell me what you thought of the event. Hands in the air where I can see them, Andy.
Hands in the air. Fuck. Okay. So overall, I definitely agree with Tim, where I think we saw stronger first party offerings with Sony. And I think that I feel like they offered better quality looking smaller titles, right? I think Everwild is sort of the wild card, the ever wild card, if you will. Something that I really, that was one showing that I really enjoyed. Even though we don't really know what the gameplay is, I'm still definitely interested in it. But I still think this is awesome. Like, I think ending with Fable is I would have loved to have seen more than just a little cheeky kind of cutscene or whatever. But I think just starting off with Halo was so damn strong. And obviously, yes, Game Pass is all about value. Let's have all this stuff available on Game Pass. And I think it's, I don't think it was the best conference ever, but I still enjoy the hell out of it. I think it's much better than a lot of past Microsoft conferences.
Blessing. Eddie Oye Jr., what did you think?
I wasn't blown away by it. I feel like for what this was, I feel like it wasn't enough of a statement. Like, as somebody, for me, I'm not really super invested in the Xbox ecosystem. Like, I'm not really hardcore into the Xbox, I guess, first party library. And so all the announcements here they made, I thought were ranged from interesting to cool to like really exciting. Like Halo Infinite looks really awesome. Halo Infinite kind of blew me away. Fable was really cool for people who love Fable. Tetris Effect Connected, you know, looked really cool. But I feel like we're at the point now where we're still having the conversation of what are generations and where does Xbox kind of stand as far as like, okay, is this next generation going to be a new generation, or like how, like what is the conversation as far as treating all of these consoles like a part, like a ecosystem, or like equal? And so I feel like, especially when I take this and compare this to the PlayStation 5 event, which I know I probably shouldn't do because these are very different strategies, but you know, when they come out and they talk about games like Grounded, or talk about the Outer Worlds DLC, or talk about you know, certain different games that like aren't necessarily exciting next gen titles, I feel like that kind of gets in the way of the marketing of like, oh yeah, look at this next system, look at the Xbox Series X, this is why you need to get this console. And again, you know, that kind of plays into their strategy of not necessarily being all about the next box. But
Tim, this is what you're speaking to, right? The fact that Xbox is moving towards the Xbox as a service. Phil Spencer comes out of the top, right, and is very much like, hey, you're going to see all these different games today. Big Philly Silent, right? You're going to see 9 of 15 of our studios. You're going to see 5 new first-party games. If you have Game Pass, these are all on Game Pass, and they will play best on Xbox Series X. This wasn't so much a we're here to do an Xbox Series X event as much as we're here to show you Xbox games. And that's the strategy difference you're talking about, Tim?
Kind of. It's that, but more so, like, I don't think that matters. I don't think we're ever going to get an Xbox Series X focused thing. It is, from here on out, it's going to be just about the games that they're having. They don't really care where you're playing them. To me, it's more, we've looked at this last generation of Xbox One versus PS4, and for years now, we've talked about how Xbox is sitting this out. They're laying the groundwork. There's the foundation being made. At some point, we're going to get this blowout event where they're firing on all cylinders. We're going to get these big announcements of this is how they're going to counter Sony. And that was the statement that we were kind of looking for. And I don't want to speak for anyone else. I know for me, that's what I was hoping was going to happen. They made a statement at this, and the statement wasn't that. And I think that is very okay. Like, that's just, I need my expectations for what Xbox is going to do going forward. I think finally, I can concretely understand is not going to be what it used to be, where it's PlayStation and Microsoft going head to head at their E3 shows. That Xbox has a different focus. They're going after a different audience. They're making a different type of game. And that's awesome. Like, them acquiring all these studios, and especially with Game Pass and all that, like, there's a lot of stuff here that looks really cool. But there wasn't anything that, with the exception of Halo, and even with Halo, Halo looks awesome. Super, super awesome.
Totally.
Very excited about that. That is definitely a game that is probably top of my list at this point for this year, games I want to play. But I look at the rest of the stuff and I'm just like, all right, cool. None of this is speaking to me on the levels of even a Ratchet and Clank from PlayStation. And again, that's fine. And
that's kind of what I'm getting at, is like, I feel like with all the announcements they made here, there was so much where I was like, all right, cool. Like, that's for somebody, I guess. Like, Crossfire X single player seems cool for somebody. I mean, it's being done by Remedy, you know, which is really exciting. But, you know, you look at that, you look at Phantasy Star Online, and again, that's something that's for somebody. And I think they very much did the thing here of like, okay, all our different announcements are probably going to be for somebody. Like, somebody is going to look at, and I can't remember the name of the Gunk is actually what I'm thinking of. Somebody's going to look at the Gunk and be like, oh, shit. Gunk. That's my type of game, right? But, like, you know, that's not going to be for everybody. Whereas coming off of the PlayStation event, and I know, like, I'm trying not to compare them at every single step, but it's the most recent thing that's happened. And so, like, coming off that PlayStation event, like, pretty much all those games, like 90% of those games, I found excitement in. Like, there's so much there where I was like, oh shoot, I didn't know about that. That seems cool. Or, oh shoot, Ratchet and Clank is back. Or, oh shoot, like, we're seeing the next game from Housemarque. But here, it was like a lot of clarification on stuff that we've had before. It was them giving us the date on Tell Me Why. It was them giving us clarification on Destiny 2 and what we can look forward to from that. It was them telling us the Hellblade 2 still exists. And I feel like a lot of it was stuff that didn't really excite me. And so I'm coming out of this event being like, all right, it was a cool event, but not necessarily what I think it needed to be to really blow me away.
Namrex Namrex in the chat says, I'd honestly much rather see games that make me want to spend $60 than games that I'll just play on Game Pass. And I think that is a ideology going into this. And I think, Bless, it's kind of touching on what you're getting at, which is this had a lot of games that, everything here is for somebody. But with the exception of, I think, Halo, there wasn't anything that is for everyone. And obviously everyone is not literal. It's more like a, you know, you look at the PlayStation.
Here's the mainstream game.
Exactly.
Here's
the game that's going to speak to the widest audience. There's multiple games that, like, if you are a gamer, it's kind of
or even like
assumption that you're going to play it.
Even the new stuff, though, like I compare like Jet the Far Shore and the Housemarque game, which name I can't remember right now, or like
you're thinking of.
And I mean, Bugsnax include that in there, including Solar Ash. Like, I feel like so many of us, and maybe this is me speaking from the PlayStation side, but so many of us came out of that being like, oh shoot, man, I can get into Solar Ash. Oh man, I can get into Jet the Far Shore. Oh man, Returnal, Kena the Bridge, Returnal. Yes, thank you. You know, Kena looks really cool, but here. Again, like to the point that
Solar Ash not an exclusive, by the way.
Not an exclusive, but still, yeah. Like, you know, an exciting announcement, right? But like here, Tell Me Why is a game that I'm very much looking forward to, right? Because I'm a Don't Nod fan. I know there's like quite a few of us that are Don't Nod fans. I'm sure like some people out there are very much looking forward to Grounded, right? I'm looking forward to Hellblade 2. But yeah, even with the new announcements compared, like I feel like there's something missing here, and I don't know exactly what it is.
I think it was one more surprise, honestly. I think it was one more thing. For me, that surprise was Avowed. I didn't expect to, you know, get a hint at what the new Obsidian brand new big RPG that's going to try to take on whatever Bethesda's doing with Skyrim is. I didn't expect to see anything like that. But for me, that was a pretty big shock. And that was kind of the one extra thing that I needed for this conference to be worth it. You know, with everything else, I feel like everything else was fairly expected. We saw stuff again. It was more of the unknowns that I was looking forward to. What are the unknowns here? What are the things we don't or haven't heard about? Will there be any surprises? And for me, Avowed was enough for me to say, all right, this conference definitely exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, Avowed was something special for sure.
Real quick, before we drift too far off, Solar Ash is a PlayStation console exclusive. It's coming to PC, but I don't think it's coming to Xbox, Andy.
I thought it was coming to Switch. I could have sworn the first time we saw it was at Ace. Was during an...
We saw it was at the PlayStation thing.
Yeah, and I have it from my PlayStation notes from that event as one of the bolded that is a PlayStation 5 or a PlayStation console exclusive.
Really? Wow.
I digress. I'm tossing out there. Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong if you really want to get us on the button. Snowbike Mike, you said as a gamer, you enjoyed yourself, had a great time. As an Xbox critic, as the host of the Kind of Funny XCast, you had criticisms of it. Is everything that, you know, we've been saying here ring true with you? Obviously, you're in a different camp. You know, Blessing and me are more in the PlayStation camp. You know, him saying like there was nothing. Does this convince you to cross party lines kind of thing? Like, I look at it, you know, and I'm echoing everything everybody said so far. I think it was a strong showing. I thought Halo looked great. Give me fucking Fable. I'm super stoked that the pre-show introduced me to the Big Con, just a fucking adventure game in the 90s trying to save your family's video store. I'm all about it. Like, there are things in here that I totally dug. There are statements in here I totally dug. I love the fact that Game Pass continues to be the best fucking value in gaming. I love that I saw a State of Decay 3 teaser. You know, what does that actually look like? When do I see something from Undead Labs? I don't know. But yeah, I'm not leaving this like super jazzed, super juiced for it. Like, is that just us as the more PlayStation people, Mike, or are you feeling that too?
You know, I think it goes both ways there, Greg. I think the big emphasis that we all should talk about is this conference had every game under the sun that you either like, you love, or you didn't like, right? But the best part about it is you should never worry, because a lot of those games, if not almost all of them, are coming to Game Pass. And the best part about the Xbox ecosystem is this Game Pass and that reassurance of like, hey, you might not be sold on this game yet, but you can give it a try on Game Pass and you might fall in love with it. Or, hey, I loved that game and I'm going to jump all over it thanks to Game Pass. As opposed to when we watched that Sony conference, right? In the back of my mind, there was those games on the fence where I was worried of, am I really going to spend the money for X, Y, and Z? So I think there's good and bad, and definitely understandable coming from both sides and meeting in the middle, right? As gamers, I think we all can agree this was a great spotlight to celebrate all those incredible developers, all of those teams that 100%. Worked so hard on some awesome games. And on the opposite side, right, we hyped this up. I mean, we tried really hard after that first third-party event to be like, hey, let's temper expectations from now on. But everybody out the gate came in saying, this is the biggest conference for Xbox in their entire life. If they don't hit this, they'll miss the mark forever and it will be totally over for them. I don't believe that's true. I think we had a good conference. I think we had a fun conference, but there were some spots that were missing for me personally as an Xbox fan that said, hey, what happened there? But I think the reinsurance of like, hey, We didn't show you all 15 studios. We know that people are working. There's more to come here soon. And that's what you definitely want to hear.
Yeah, but with that, it's like we didn't hear from all of PlayStation studios either, you know? And it's like, that's the thing is, I do think that this was the, like, we hyped it up as the biggest event in Xbox history. And I very much think it was. And again, I just think that it Xbox is now defined. Like, I think if anything, this did a good job, especially with when you watch just the last 3 minutes of this conference. Like, there was a montage that really just summed up everything, and you see all the different games with the text on the screen of, like, with the numbers of how many studios they have and how many games are coming to Game Pass and all that stuff. It's like, that's what Xbox is. And if you vibe with that, they're going to continue doing that. I love that they said that we're getting more later this year. Like, we're going to get more of this. Like, I think that everybody needs to understand, don't expect anything more than the type of stuff that we saw today. And if you're super vibing with that, that's a great thing. Like, you're going to get a lot more of that on Game Pass, whether you have an Xbox One X or if you're buying the Series X later.
I feel like I'm still in the place, though, right now with Xbox of what am I looking forward to in 2021, right? Like, because Hellblade seems like it's not coming through next year. And if that's not the case, like, what's the big first-party game or what's the big exclusive that I can look forward to? Like, I feel like they started to lay the land as far as, like, what, as far as the diversity of the portfolio. And that's the thing that I actually really like that they did today. Like, they came out and they gave us, like, a bunch of different types of games. Like, they gave us horror, they gave us Tetris, they gave us Warhammer, they gave us a really good I mean, at this point, pretty much, yeah. They gave us a good lay of the land as far as, like, oh yeah, this is the diversity that we offer, and it's all available through Game Pass, which I think is that's the most powerful thing.
Totally.
But I feel like for me, as somebody who wants to be able to come to Xbox and wants to be able to be like, all right, cool, you know, what can I expect from this ecosystem forthcoming for 2021? I still have that emptiness, right? Like, Forza Motorsport, they said it was early in development, which, you know, could mean early for Forza. And so it probably could come fall 2021. But at this point, like, I'm thinking, like, maybe fall 2022 for Forza Motorsport. Fable is probably quite a few years away. And so, like, what does 2021 look like for Xbox, especially with Series X just coming
you
out?
You don't think Hellblade 2 will be then?
Be next year? No. Yeah.
No?
Okay. I mean, they said they're working on it for Unreal Engine 5. And if that's the case, like, Unreal Engine 5 doesn't actually release until, like, early next year. Maybe they're working on early versions of it right now. Maybe that doesn't affect things as much as we may think. But there's that. And there's also the fact that they didn't show gameplay, right? Like, the thing that they left this conference saying is that, hey, yeah, like, check in with us. You can see all the location scouting we're doing. Yeah, yeah. And that tells me that you are very early.
That sounds so early. Yeah, that's kind of a big worry. Obviously, as somebody who didn't even play Hellblade, I feel like this had to be another conference where you show off Hellblade as a big first party offering, a system seller, you know, a big single player campaign game. I mean, and when I say big, I just mean, you know, very high budget. And I was kind of bummed out that we only got, you know, hey, we're working on it sort of reassurance, you know.
You know, I have an interesting question of what we just saw, right? We've heard from Microsoft of this cross-generation holding everybody together in this ecosystem for a couple of years out, right? But then you talk about some of these big tent poles, these big titles, and we didn't get a date for them. We do think they are off in the future. Do we think that's the next selling point of the next generation of when Hellblade 2 is ready, when Fable is ready, when maybe, you know, kind of Forza, but not really, but some of these bigger titles, is that when we see the, hey, we're going to stop this now and we're moving you to the Xbox Series X? Do you think they're holding it for that?
It's too late. I don't think, I think that from this point on, it's an ecosystem. Like, we've been for years now being like, it's coming. It's going to come. It's going to come. After this, it's going to come. It's going to come. It's going to come. It's like, no, it's here. Like, we need to stop looking for something that's not going to happen. Like, this is what the Xbox ecosystem is. And that's great. Let's start understanding that now and stop getting our hopes up and just being completely disappointed. Like,
do you feel like it's enough, though? Studios.
I mean, for what, like, for paying for the Game Pass? Yeah, it is enough. You know, they're not trying to get us to pay $60 a title anymore. And they're not even trying to, like, get us to buy the box. You know, it's just like, hey, here's the box if you want it. And it's like, that really is the vibe I'm getting from this. Yeah, it's the best place to play. It's the most powerful, whatever. This, if anything, and I can't believe I'm saying this, like, this event almost unsold me on the Series X. I still want one for Halo, but it's like, if I can just play it on my PC, do I really need the Series X? I've been an Xbox One X guy for my third party titles, but if the PS5 is going to be super dope as well and like close in tech with the SSD and stuff, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I that was an interesting thought I had too, as we were in between the end of the showcase and the beginning of this show. It was my idea of, yeah, like this is the first time leaving that where I was like, all right, yeah, a lot of good games. Like, but it was that, and I don't think it will, because obviously I want to be able to talk about it and talk about all the bells and whistles and everything else. But yeah, it was that, would I, if I was on the outside right now, would I buy an Xbox Series X? Because yeah, I want to play Halo. Yeah, I want to play the big con. Yeah, I want to play, you know, Fable whenever it comes around. You know, obviously I want to play State of Decay 3. But like for right now at launch, I have the Xbox, you know, One X underneath my TV and I barely use it, right? So it's like, if these are just the exclusives for it, would I have gone out and bought the Series X for it? Because again, to what they're doing right here, and again, what I think they've done right for a long time, they're just being very clear about it now, is that they're building the ecosystem. And it is, I'm excited to have xCloud on everything. I'm excited to be able to play my games anywhere. I'm excited that, yeah, like we were talking about this earlier, right, Andy, of like you trying to convince your brother to just get Game Pass. Like, it would be so great for his son, your nephew, that, yeah, just get in. There's all these games there. The fact that yesterday, you know, I was like, oh, my Xbox Live Gold expired. And I was like, for $1, upgrade my Game Pass to Game Pass Ultimate and get that too. I'm like, of course. Like,
why not?
Exactly. Yeah. But that's the thing, is like every screen is a portal to Xbox now. So it is that, yeah, what does the console itself mean to the average consumer or person who is on the fence? And like we talked about this before, and what I think is so interesting is that they were very clear coming into this one, this is about games. This is an hour of games about Xbox. Leaving this one, you do have that conversation of like, cool, the race does become like, do you want to buy both for a consumer, buy both consoles at launch? Is the PlayStation 5, who is going in a different direction and saying there are PlayStation 5 games and it's not, you know, not forwards compatible or whatever for PlayStation 4, is that a strategy that wins out and keeps people from buying the Xbox Series X because they can just play these games on their Xbox current or their PC or whatever and not have to worry about putting that investment in? I don't have the answers to that one.
Yeah, I think as far as Tim's argument goes with I have a PC for this, I think it's just important to understand that not everybody has a $2,000 PC.
Of course.
And I think that that messaging gets lost a lot, because there's so many people out there saying, well, why would I do this? Well, it's not for you then. You know, you're not the person, you're not the market for this. The market is 15-year-old kids who want a Christmas gift or birthday gift or whatever. You know, I don't see, you know, if you have an expensive PC, great, but obviously that's not who they're trying to grab on to get this.
Well, it's back to the conversation of, it's not even about the expensive PC, right? It is about the Xbox you already have. It's about the used Xbox you could buy. It is about the theoretical
Lockhart.
The Lockhart, right? Or whatever, that's going to come in and be there. Like, I think they're giving you entry points onto this in a different way, but it does become that conversation of, yeah, do you go for the big bells and whistles one? What's the actual difference you're getting? And I'm sorry. You were trying to get in.
No, I was going to say exactly what you just said, though. Like, people have Xbox One, which is like the entry point. So fist bump.
My man. PS, I love you. XOXO every Tuesday. So let's actually talk about the games rather than the strategy and what we came out of this. Let's start with it. Snowbike Mike. Snowbicycle Michael.
Talk to
Halo.
Snowbicycle Michael.
What did that do for you?
That was killer. Now let's preference this, right? We all can now rewatch that trailer in 4K. It's going to not be buffering or stuttering. So it was a little tough to watch at first, but they showed me everything I wanted and more, right? They gave you that semi-open world that people have been asking for. It looked like it did have upgrades in the menu. It had some killer-looking gameplay. The grappling hook was sweet. That slipspace engine looked real nice. And, of course, most of all, the story is looking good for me, especially with the Banished. So I'm excited as can be for Halo Infinite.
Do we know who the actor is that is Master Chief, who was in the front when they crash landed and he was yelling?
Just call me.
Yeah. No, we don't. Okay, I'll look into that.
I don't.
Because I liked his performance a lot. And it reminded me of that guy from Rogue One. And I was wondering if it was the guy from Rogue One.
Diego Luna?
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
I'll look into that. But Tim, you're Mr. Halo fanboy as well. What did it do for you?
Everything. That's it. Yeah. I mean, this is what I wanted. This is Force Awakens Halo. Like, real talk, it's just so familiar in a way that it felt comfortable, and it did feel kind of smaller scale and larger scale in the ways that I wanted each of those to be true. It was smaller scale in the sense that I liked the enemy types. I liked they were going back to the classics, the sound effects, the world, the colors, the armor, all the stuff we were talking about going into it. They totally blew out of the water for me where I'm like, this looks awesome. All the story-based stuff we're getting seems easy to follow. We might not, like, bless you, you kind of joked, like, he's saying a lot of shit and I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter because it's pretty clear. Okay, I'm talking about these bad guys and I'm going to do this thing. And it's like, I feel like they're presenting a story that's like, all right, cool. You can play this game and understand it. But on top of that, we're getting these traversal elements. We're getting the grapple hook. When we saw the map, it's open, but it's not too open. They're talking about bigger than Halo 4 and 5, but it's like, what does that actually mean? You're talking about very linear things now being widened out and bigger. Like, I get the vibes from Uncharted 4 when you get to Madagascar. And absolutely, it's like, here, you go from this like super tight linear game to now it's big enough to give you things to do, but not be overwhelming and not be annoying and feel like you just have to get from tower to tower to tower, but still having those elements that are fun. And Andy brought up the point, as you see them get in the Warthog and start driving around, like, what if there's just the encampments of the different Covenant and stuff? And if they do that where it is not trying to copy every other game, but make it feel Halo, and it looks like it feels Halo. When they took that Warthog off of the mountain and it did that sweet, sweet jump, I was just like, this is Halo to me. This, yeah, like that jump right there made me go, fuck, they nailed it.
It really feels like a playground. And I think that's so important with the approach to making Halo feel more open-ish, you know, with that map and putting down little pings because I want to go over here to this waypoint or whatever. I think having that playground and being able to take on different enemy encounters in different ways and more creative ways with vehicle combat, with all these different weapons, I think this is the perfect way to show off a game. They showed so many variety of weapons. They showed different ways to use the weapons. Again, Mike talked about the grappling hook, but, you know, shooting that, pulling that bomb, throwing it at the enemy. Mm-hmm. And you got to assume that there's a lot of different ways. And I just love, I hope that this is that we start seeing more things like Breath of the Wild, where there's so many different things you can do with physics in this game and with exploding this thing to then explode that thing. It just feels open and free, and you're not necessarily stuck to going mission to mission because you have to further the story. Let's just have fun in this world.
Jumping off that for a second, it's like that really reminds me of what I loved the most about the original Halos, like with Combat Evolved and Halo 2. It was just jumping into, like, me and my friends popping into a multiplayer map and just hanging out in Blood Gulch, just trying to get a ghost to jump and land on top of one of the bases. Like, it is just the fun of the physics and the fun of the things you can do. And even the co-op campaign is like, it is what Halo campaign is. Like, playing single player on Legendary, sure, that's one thing, but it's just like Halo campaign is about co-op and about doing it with your friends and having these fun kind of playground moments. And this seems like it's going to be that just on steroids, but it's still Halo. It's still what it needs, like what we were kind of expecting it to be. Does this look like a transformative experience? Absolutely not. It looks like more Halo. But to me, it doesn't look like Halo 6. And I don't know exactly why, but I like that.
I'm looking at this article right now from IGN that was written by Ryan McCaffrey, where they interviewed Chris Lee, who's the studio head over there. And Chris Lee has the quote where he says, "Halo Infinite is the start of our platform for the future. We want Infinite to grow over time versus going to those numbered titles and having all that segmentation that we had before. It's really about creating Halo Infinite as the start of the next 10 years for Halo and then building that as we go with our fans in our community," end quote. And then Ryan continues here in the article by saying, "This does not mean that Halo Infinite is a live service game a la Destiny, but it does mean that the new story experiences will be told underneath Infinite's umbrella, and it also means Infinite will be evolved technologically over quite a while." And they also talk in the article about how there's going to be a free ray tracing update after launch. This is essentially going to be the last standalone Halo for the foreseeable future, which I think is really interesting. I think that's a cool concept. I think, you know, looking at the gameplay that I was shown today, for me as somebody who's historically not a Halo person, I was really into it, right? Like, the openness of it, it kind of reminded me of almost a fusion between like Doom Eternal and Far Cry in a way that I kind of dig more so than even both of those, right? Like, it seems like this free open thing, and I can see how they could then either like add new areas or, you know, fit in new objectives into already familiar areas and then like grow a story from there. That all seems like stuff that Tim, you mentioned that that doesn't seem like a transformative experience. That all seems like stuff that could turn it into a transformative experience if they nail that stuff and make that stuff actually interesting over time. That stuff kind of sold me on what this is.
I'm getting some Minecraft vibes there, saying, hey, there's a free ray tracing update coming up. That's really weird for a big sort of single player campaign game. That's obviously going to have multiplayer updates, but to tout that ray tracing will come at a later date is kind of weird.
It is kind of weird, yeah.
I like, but even more so, unsells me on buying a Series X at launch.
I like hearing Blessing bring that to the table, especially when we talk about Halo Infinite. And I brought it up on the Kind of Funny X cast of like, I want to play Halo with my friends for more than just 3 months or 6 months, or just the diehards playing only the multiplayer. So 1,000%. Giving it that idea of like a living world where maybe we'll add new areas, like Blessing said, kind of like the Division or Destiny with these big updates. I think that is how you keep people involved with Halo. That's how we don't sit for another 5 years waiting on another Halo, hoping for this to be the one. This will be really cool to see how they can keep this evolved and alive for years to come instead of the 3 months, 6 months life cycle that we see with a lot of these games.
So let's give a rundown of what we actually saw there. All right. Pre-show started, and I'm just going to run through game titles. Please stop me if you guys want to say anything about them. All right. Pre-show started. We had the announcement of Dragon Quest XI S Definitive Edition.
Greg, coming to stop. Game Pass. Whoa. Stop. Whoa.
December 4th, coming to Game Pass as well. Exo Mecha, which was that one that looked like a tech demo.
This game looks dope.
Honestly, I'm into it. Like, as tech demo as it looks, as like, you know, not impressive visually as it looks, I don't know how this game cannot be cool at the very least. Like,
dude, if you didn't see it, it's first person shooting. You're running around. We're like, is this a battle royale? Then there were these giant mechs fighting. That you're like, are we in control of the mechs as well? I don't understand what's going on.
What I need you all to do is watch that trailer back and then look up the way the Megazord and Dr. Ivan Ooze fight looked in the Power Rangers movie, because that's what these mechs reminded me of. The reflection was just cranked up to 1,000, bro. We gotta sit them in the world a little bit more, man.
Yeah, like, this might be bad, but it's definitely gonna be cool, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it has cool energy to it.
From there, we had the world premiere of Watch Dogs Legion. It was a new trailer for Watch Dogs Legion. Remember, if you don't know anything about that, go to Kind of Funny Games on YouTube. Watch our impressions there. Number 4, Echo Generation. This is the one that we thought was a Stranger Things game, but in fact it was not. Just, it's this weird voxel-looking turn-based RPG that looks like Stranger Things. It sounds like Stranger Things, but isn't Stranger Things. Voxel. Coming in 2021. Thank you very much. I was proud of that as well. I thought 3D Game Heroes made sure I would never forget voxel. Hello Neighbor 2 got announced, coming out in 2021. Then there was an ID at Xbox montage, including games like 12 Minutes, XO1, The Big Con, which is that adventure game I was talking about, Tunic, Song of Iron, Sable, and Dead State Drive. From there, we then had an announcement of Balan Wonderland. This is the action game of action games.
I'm really excited for this one. Like, it's the one that's
happy you are, West.
Yeah, from like the co-creator Sonic. And people who worked on Nights into Dreams and stuff. It is essentially a game that is inspired by musical theater. It looks cool. This is another one that I'm putting into the bag of like, this could be bad, but at the very least it's going to be cool.
I got a lot of Hat in Time vibes where
I got that too.
It's possible that story is really charming and there's really cute characters, but visually it looked definitely behind in the times.
Yes.
So from there, the real show starts with Halo, as we said earlier. I messed up the date. What do you remember? It was May 28th, 25, something earlier.
I don't remember what I have for breakfast, Greg.
Okay, sorry.
It was a year after they lost the Halo to the UNSC lost.
Gotcha. Fighting the Banished runs at 60 frames per second. There's more coming in the coming months. Then we jumped into a CGI trailer for State of Decay 3. It was a reveal there at the end. Again, that State of Decay. I love State of Decay. I love Undead Labs. I'm excited to see what that actually looks like. The trailer obviously was a woman out hunting who then runs into a rabid deer or whatever. She kills that thing.
So. That game had part 2 had a lot of performance issues, right?
So in part 1, let's give credit where credit's due.
I'm excited for, you know, hopefully a more polished part 3 along with more horsepower, you know.
Sure.
You know, yeah, Greg, exactly. When we watched that, when you brought up in the pre-show, I want to see the next generation of State of Decay. That sure was just a teaser CGI trailer, but like that gave me the vibes of like, this is going to be the next generation. This is our next big step here in the right direction.
And that was, yeah, if you missed the pre-show, we were talking about it. As a huge State of Decay fan, I was disappointed in State of Decay 2, because even State of Decay 2 just felt more like a Game of the Year edition, which I realized existed for State of Decay 1. But it was just like, oh, this is like minor enhancements. I feel like I'm doing the exact same things here. Like, and it's not that there's been any major step forward. Yeah, I'm with you, Mike, that just the tone of the trailer seem to indicate hopefully it's going to be a different kind of State of Decay, but we'll have to wait and see on that. And then yeah, big Philly Spencer himself came out, as I said earlier, he talked about being 9 of 15 studios would be shown today from the Xbox first party lineup. You get 5 new first party games. All of these are coming to Game Pass. He then turned to Turn 10, talking about Forza Motorsport. Not ready yet, as he said, but they had a teaser for it, which of course was really pretty cars driving around in engine.
Pretty shocking, right?
Yep. That it's not a launch game. Really, that is not, right?
That is, yeah. I mean, I feel like we all just lost a bet that we've made on some show at some point. Like, that was such a, oh, for sure it's going to happen.
No brainer.
But I do think that it's a good sign overall. Like, you can play the other Forzas right now on Game Pass. And when Series X comes out, I'm sure they're going to be enhanced in some way and they're going to be real pretty to look at. But take your time, launch this as another platform. If Halo Infinite's a platform, we got Forza as a platform. Good signs of what's to come and what to expect.
Mike, did we get a Forza last year, or was it the year before we got Horizon 4?
Yeah, before with Horizon 4, right? So we're looking for Forza Motorsports 8. It is interesting that they dropped the 8, and like Tim said, like, we've always had that discussion with sports titles, right? Just becoming a service and like constant roster updates because we're not changing that much. Like, could this be the tide for Forza right now of just a live service for this point forward? That would be interesting as well.
I think so, especially when you look at Sea of Thieves and with the news that came out last week of the 15 million players and stuff. And it's like, that's very much from constant updates and from Game Pass. And I think that their strategy is working for them. And I think that they're going to keep doubling down on this. And it's going to change how people kind of understand what video games can be. But like, we saw the last couple of years with a lot of a rise of episodic titles, right? And them not working for a multitude of reasons, because schedules get off or just kind of like the understanding of people being like, I'm just going to wait till they're all out or whatever. But I think when you get people understanding Game Pass and how Game Pass works, it gives things like Don't Nod's game a much better shot at success. And that it doesn't need to, it can have that appointment viewing type thing of, cool, you already have it. You don't need to really wait for the next one. It's just going to eventually come to you when it needs to, or when it's all done, they'll all be there for you. And I think we're going to see a lot more platform-based games coming to the Xbox side of things.
Yeah, this is very interesting because we've gotten a Forza pretty much every year since 2011. Obviously, like, rotating between Forza Motorsport and Forza Horizon. And so this is the first time in quite a while where, yeah, we're now going into our second year without a Forza game. Which makes me think that, like, yeah, to what Tim is saying about platform, right, and what this could be, this seems like it's going to be a big revamp for Forza. Like, this seems like it's going to be a big comeback whenever they actually finish Forza Motorsport and put it out, which is really exciting, especially if they're able to pull off the platform thing.
What do you think Horizon would be? Do you think Horizon will always stay as a, you know, I won't call it annualized, but, like, do you always think that will be another title because they are an open world in a setting as opposed to Forza Motorsports where it is tracks and, you know, updating those tracks and adding things? You think Horizon could go this route as well?
So we're in a very interesting place because Playground is working on Fable, and you imagine that, yeah, if Fable's good and Fable's successful, then you're going to want to, you know, turn that into its own or continue that series with Playground. And so do you then take Playground off of Forza Horizon, you know, to focus on that? Like, it's kind of up in the air right now. I like how Horizon works right now, where we are getting multiple entries. But if Forza Motorsport is able to prove that, you know, this can work as a platform, then I think the only reason why you wouldn't want to do it for Horizon is because the exciting thing about Horizon is getting the new open worlds with each game, right? Because you got you went from Australia to
England,
the UK.
Now we go to Japan.
Oh my God.
I think that's the number one draw for me, at least. Like, I, as someone who isn't a racing fan at all, I really fell in love with Horizon. And the big draw for me would be these open world, more arcadey style games. And motorsport just doesn't interest me. I don't want a simulation. I don't care for that. I care for the silly going to missions, and suddenly you're doing a mission where you are a stunt guy who's filling in for a guy who called in sick. Like, I love that vibe. And I hope Horizon comes back in you know, with another location sort of in their next iteration.
Take it to the bank. Forza Horizon will be announced next year, and it'll just be Forza Horizon, and then they'll drop the numbers, and it'll just be Forza Horizon Japan, Forza Horizon Mexico, Forza Horizon whatever.
That'd be really cool.
As Game Pass titles that they'll put out whenever they want to.
Okay. Damn, that sounds sick.
Heading up on the list here then, like I said, this is number 11 by my count, and that includes that montage. Everwild was next, of course, from Rare. Finally getting to see more of this game. But Mike, do you know what this game is?
Greg Miller, I'll give you, because I know Andy and Bless are going to come in and say it looked cool, they're excited for it, but I still have the question on my mind. What is this game? Is it single player? Is it multiplayer? Is it a living open world like Sea of Thieves? Are we going to get that experience? What the heck is this game? Rare did not answer that question for me at all.
I think, obviously, I love the way it looks. I love its vibe. I love, I always love their style and their art. They have an incredible art department. To me, this sort of seems like a co-op survival game where you either, I don't know, use magic to make these animals your pets, and you eventually become very close to them, and they... You know, I think we saw that one clip that I mentioned earlier of the big sort of walrus looking thing bringing down a tree. And you got to assume that these animals are helping you get certain elements in the world, certain supplies. Maybe you need food from this bush, or you need like to climb up that rock. It's just so intriguing to me. I don't know. I'm super in.
Yeah, I mean, this is to Mike's point that like I didn't get any of that from this trailer. I'm very excited for this game. I think it looks the deer beautiful.
Whatever.
What I got from this trailer was like, oh man, this is gonna be like an open world, like Breath of the Wild kind of game where you're exploring and you're building these connections with the animals around you, and they're helping you like get to your whatever your final objective is. Like they really do got to come out and actually explain to us what this
now,
is.
Granted, because, yeah, everything I said, I'm just assuming everything. Like, it's just assumption.
Yeah,
I made the game in my head, and if it's not that, I don't want it.
It's the exact same, though. Like, if this isn't Breath of the Wild, I'm going to be like, okay, what is this?
Peace. I just love the idea of it. Kind of, it gave me a Last Guardian vibes. Like, making a friend with Trico, making a friend with these sort of mystical creatures that become your friends and your sort of companions on this journey.
I'm on Rare's Twitter right now, where they tweeted about Everwild, and they describe it like this. They say, quote, "Our world has a rhythm. We all sense it, but only a few truly feel it." And if that doesn't tell you.
That's from The Last Jedi, bro. That's a quote from The Last Jedi. Luke Skywalker says
that. Moving on, number 12.
Greg, one second. Oh, yeah, sorry. Before we move on from Rare, we have one big question. Where the heck is Battletoads? Why didn't we get a release date?
Man.
Why didn't we not even speak about Battletoads? This is a game that's been shown for way too long, Greg Miller. Mm-hmm. This is a game that should essentially just be done, should have stealth released today, in all honesty, as a fun announcement. Yeah. But where's Battletoads? What's the deal with this
not
game?
Not even in a montage.
When I was listening to the X-Cast and Gary Widow was like, I'd love to see Battletoads come back. I was like, ha, that'd be... I'm like, wait a second. Tim played that at an E3. Like, wait a minute. And you're like, no, Gary, it came back. It just never came out. And then it's just been quiet. It's like, fuck. And don't forget, there was one Battletoad in the Grounded trailer. So you got what you wanted.
Yeah, let me say, Grounded
had what I wanted.
You got your Battletoads, Phil.
Mike, that's an excellent point. Gemini. And, you know, they did say that there's going to be another showcase at some point or whatever that is. But it's like... I just think it's weird that there's a couple games that, and Cuphead included, where it's like, where are they at? You know, it's been a couple E3s now that we've been hearing about these smaller titles. And again, I understand so much goes into them. Battletoads is a little bit different, though.
Let's take a quick time out and bring in Mitch Krassen, who wrote in immediately after the event to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can to be part of Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday, and says, is the Cuphead DLC gone? Or is it a sequel game now? That seemed to me like the biggest omission of the Xbox showcase, and literally nothing has been said about it for what seems like years.
It's bizarre, man.
I mean, I think it has been years.
I feel like it can't be a DLC anymore.
Yeah,
and like maybe that's me already getting my hopes set and my expectations set a little too high. Like the delicious last course was the whole thing. Like there's branding going on that makes it DLC. But I at this point would much prefer a sequel to the game. What that ends up looking like, I don't know. When that ends up looking like is the bigger question. I'll love it whenever it comes out. Cuphead's the type of game that I know that it's going to be super high quality. I know it's going to be like close to a 10, if not a 10. So I'd be fine waiting for that sequel. I'll be fine waiting for the DLC. I'll take whatever I can get. But
it's interesting.
It's a bummer to not see it.
As long as the game took, you think, yeah, it was interesting of like what DLC expectations were going to be. And the fact that, yeah, it got announced and it's just been so fucking quiet.
When did they announce that DLC? That was two E3s ago, right?
Fuck, was
it? It's interesting that you guys bring all this up. Do you think maybe they're holding it to go, you know, close to the release of this Netflix show that they're creating? Because there is a Cuphead show in the works now. And yes, I hate pushing that off and off and, you know, wanting this, but like, are we waiting for the show to try to get close to that, to get more hype going around that? What's up with this?
Probably. So it was announced June 10th, 2018. So
2 years ago.
We did get the teaser trailer for the Netflix show fairly recently.
Yeah.
Last month.
Which looks really good.
Yeah. Or 2 months
ago. But like, by the time they even announced the show, it had already been a long time since they announced the DLC. Mm-hmm. But I could see that being a reasoning, right, to have that brand synergy and to have like this Cuphead revival with that. I don't know.
Speaking of there's one game before. Tim, you sent something to assets. Do you want to call it up right now or is that later?
Oh, we let's get through it. It's just more Halo stuff.
We'll talk about that at the end then. Number 12 then for games, Tell Me Why from Don't Nod popped up, announcing that episode 1 drops August 27th. Obviously, Don't Nod, the people who do Life is Strange. I'm excited for this just based on that. Story looks interesting. You know, brother and sister who their emotions call out these things and something bad happened with their mom. Let's see what it's all about. Yeah.
Has Life of Strange energy to it, which I appreciate.
Yeah, totally, of course. Yeah, there's stuff going on there. This is the one right where the brother is trans, and so that seems to be playing into this and maybe what was going on with their mom and where they all are. I'm interested. Number 13.
I want to go back a sec though, because to talk about Battletoads, we went off topic and started talking about Cuphead. I do just want to say, it's like we're sitting here questioning like, where's Battletoads though? None of us actually want Battletoads. Like that's another thing to keep in mind. It's like it's
so Mike, you want Battletoads?
I want Battletoads because it's a perfect Game Pass game, Tim. This
it's
is
not,
one of those.
It's not. I played no, it's not.
And that is a great Game Pass game. It's gonna be great for the whole audience, right? Like, think of that. Look at the art style, look at the colors, look at the characters, look at the lineage and the nostalgia factor for older to younger generations. This is a perfect Game Pass game, and I can't wait to play it. And I know you're gonna play it, Tim. But you might not love it, is right. But it is a perfect Game Pass game.
And why is it not a perfect Game Pass game, as you're saying?
It's not a perfect Game Pass game because it's not a good game. Like, I feel like we're talking about the swimming in sevens idea. Game Pass to me is swimming in sevens. Like, Battletoads, from what I played, is going to be a 4 out of 10.
Jesus Christ.
Damn.
Whoa, he's beating up on Battletoads. Okay, yeah, we a little bit higher than that.
Tim played it for good. At the E3, I remember Tim playing it at the Xbox Theater. He played it, or Microsoft Theater. He played forever, and then he walked away. I was like, man, you really liked it, huh? He's like, it's so fucking frustrating at the end, and I couldn't leave because the demo person kept talking to me.
Yeah. No,
I mean, maybe that's why we haven't seen it. Maybe they know. Maybe they're like retooling
it. It is beautiful art, and it does have this like nostalgic style or whatever, but it's like in the 2D side-scrolling bits, whatever, they're fine. But there's so much more to that game that is just like,
is the game not all 2D side scrolling? Is there more to it?
There's hoverboard things that are more like,
yeah,
you're going away from the camera.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Moving along then, if Tim doesn't have anything else. Number 13, it's a Tim Geddes ass game. It was Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Moon Studio popped up to say they're basically doing the Xbox enhanced version, correct? Like, that's the idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
120 hertz for the TV you don't have.
Ooh. Yeah,
remember that? Remember when that game had technical issues? Like, mm-hmm. I can't remember the issues were. Was it the map? Every time you pause,
it loaded really hard. Yeah.
Yes. So I can't wait for that to be fixed.
Yeah, it's gonna be nice. Great, fantastic game, and I feel like better tech will surely help.
Yes.
Then it was Outer Worlds time. Obsidian showed up to talk about Peril on Gorgon. This is their DLC, the first of two that's coming. September 9th is what my note says. And then that immediately flowed into Grounded, coming out July 28th. I thought that Grounded trailer looks good. I still haven't played Grounded. I'm still casually interested in Grounded. When this drops in just, next week, I'm going to actually try it and see what's up with that.
Let's play it together.
I'll join. Let's do it.
Because Joey gave me Obsidian? Her Xbox. She may have just lent me her Xbox, but I'm taking it.
You have it for good.
Gave it to me. Yeah.
I love it.
I'm all about that Outer Worlds DLC. I enjoyed Outer Worlds.
Yeah.
I liked it. I mean, I didn't fall in love with it, but you know, I definitely really enjoyed my time with it. And the DLC, like, I'm down to like jump back in. It very much for me is that filler. Like, you know, I'm kind of missing Fallout right now. I know Fallout 76 exists, but and so like,
hey, yeah, we enjoyed it one afternoon. We did
that. Never one, that to one afternoon was gone,
but we enjoyed it.
And so yeah, this is kind of that filler for me. When we're not getting any new Fallout.
Yeah, that was a big deal, dude. Outer Worlds blew me away in so many different spots with its dialogue and its story changes and conversations with different NPCs. And then I never got back to it because I think I started playing Control, and I was so close to beating it. I was so close to beating it, and my Xbox shit on me. And so I don't know. Do I have that save? Is it in a cloud somewhere?
It should be in the cloud. Yeah,
it's in the cloud.
Okay.
Sick. It's all in the cloud.
Yeah.
Outer Worlds, I thought was a disappointment. I didn't think it was a bad game. So, like, I'm not down for more DLC or to go back to it, but I'm glad you guys are. However, they then rolled into a brand new Obsidian RPG, Avowed, which we don't know much about, right? Looks very Skyrim-y, which I'm all about. That's great. Where he's got the sword in one hand, he's got magical powers in the other, first person. Let's fucking go.
So, this is a killer announcement, man. This is what I'm talking about. This is the type of stuff that Xbox needed to bring today, and I think it's very key that it's a big first-party title that we didn't hear about before, that is something that's no time soon, but it's something to look forward to if you are an Xbox Game Studios fan.
This immediately seems like one of those you have to have an Xbox sort of device or PC if you want to play this game, because there's going to be so many people interested in a Skyrim-type game from some of the founders of old Bethesda games. Like, this is one of those things that will bring you towards a new platform, I think.
Yeah, this seems like the thing that is going to satiate people who might be waiting for Elder Scrolls 6 for a good, like, 10 years to come out. You know, this seems like it's going to be a really good one of those. Though, like, I was waiting throughout the whole trailer for, like, the shoe to drop and for the tone to switch completely to, like, something comedy or, like, something modern day, because watching that trailer upon reveal, it very much has like that, like, typical,
too epic,
you know, fantasy, like super epic, you know, yeah, like that kind of energy where it's like you're gonna get some dragons and some magic and some orcs and some elves, and it's gonna be fantasy.
I was right there with you, because when the voice was coming out of the cave, I thought it was gonna zoom in and be a little creature and be like, oh, but all worlds are not blah blah blah, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I thought it was gonna be that sort of same comedic turn.
Yeah, for me, this is a big deal. I think Obsidian, right here with this announcement and the Outer Worlds DLC, was the dark horse. This was the studio that stole the show right here, because we already knew about Grounded. The DLC was questionable to be shown, and I think Avowed was definitely super questionable to be shown, if not, didn't even think this would be shown. So it's really excited for me. I kind of wanted more of a Fallout New Vegas style game from this team, because, you know, I really liked the Outer Worlds. I didn't know if I wanted to go back to another Skyrim type medieval game, especially because we have Skyrim and I'm sure it will be on the next generation of consoles, if not backwards compatibility. But you know what? This is a big deal. And for me, this was like, Obsidian is now here. They're showing you why we were purchased by Microsoft. And this is a big deal for all of us Xbox fans.
And we need that new, man. We need that new big open world RPG. I'm so stoked for it, man.
Up next was one that really spoke to me, As Dusk Falls, from developer Interior Night. Brand new game. It's focused on interactive storytelling. This one's covering 30 years in the American Southwest, and it's starring Alex Van Aken from OK Beast. And it's got this emotion, but they're like painted over art. It kind of looks like when you paint over a picture kind of thing, and that's how they're telling the story, and they go through it and what happens to this family that seems to intersect with some bank robbers, and then the repercussions as the little girl in the family grows up and goes through. Like, that's enough for me. Everything they showed there, I was like, fuck, this sounds like something I'm gonna be all about.
I'm looking at an article right now from Eurogamer that's titled, As Dusk Falls is first game from former Quantic Dream lead developer. As Dusk Falls is the debut game from ex-Quantic Dream lead game designer Caroline Marshall in her new London-based studio Interior Night. It's been in works for some time. We first heard about the studio back in January 2018 when Marshall suggested it would be similar in design to other Quantic Dream projects such as Heavy Rain. And yeah, Greg, I'm with you that I thought this trailer looked pretty cool. Like, I'm into it.
Yeah. Then it was popping in looking at Hellblade 2. There, like you guys are talking about, it's set, they talk about, like, you go to their YouTube channel, watch things that they did for location setting. This is set in Iceland. It's using Unreal Engine 5. So yeah, when we see this game, I still think it'll be next year. Bless thinks it's going to be further out than that.
I agree with Bless, because we didn't even see anything new, like, trailer-wise, right? They just straight up showed the game. They showed the trailer from the Game Awards, Game Awards. And just some background stuff. So, like, that leads me to believe, like, we didn't even see anything new here. Like, not even it could be a while out, is right.
Okay. Well, I'll see. Then it was Psychonauts. It was a Jack Black music video, kind of him recording his song that'll play in Psychonauts, going through and doing that. However, since that has happened, news has broken. IGN's Joe Screbbles reports Psychonauts 2 seemingly has been delayed from this year to a 2021 release. A date was conspicuously absent from its gameplay trailer in the Xbox Games Showcase, but an Xbox Wire blog post about the game reads, Psychonauts 2 releases in 2021 on Xbox Game Pass, Windows, PC, Mac, Linux, and PlayStation 4. So it looks like that's going to, you have to wait a little bit longer for Tim Schafer to finish his magnum opus. From there, we talked about Destiny 2. Destiny 2, of course, coming to the Series X and Game Pass this September. Well, you know, coming to Game Pass September. You'll get all the current expansions available as well. It's going to be on the cloud for the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate users, of course. And it'll be Series X optimized come the fall.
I think that's a big grab.
Yeah.
Huge.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a big grab. We talked about what was going to be the big third-party, you know, Game Pass title. Was it going to be like an Assassin's Creed, a Call of Duty, similar to what we saw with Yakuza and Kingdom Hearts? Like, this was a good grab right here for Destiny. I think that was a good one for Game Pass.
And it's, you know, I mean, you just took away Stadia's biggest exclusive.
Totally. Straight up. That's a real Destiny. Yeah. Like, yep. Coming to Game Pass, having all the bells and whistles, DLC, all that stuff. And we know xCloud. It's just like, xCloud coming with Game Pass. It's like, all right, Stadia.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, you'll need that for Game Pass Ultimate, right? Or
yeah, Game Pass Ultimate.
Okay.
Yeah. From there, we're into console launch exclusives. We're talking about Stalker 2. That's going to be a console launch exclusive. Warhammer Darktide, console launch exclusive in 2021. Then Tetris Effect Connected, console launch exclusive. Tetris Effect Connected is our new title exclusive to Microsoft platforms, Series X, Windows, blah, 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 blah. It's original game with all new co-op and competitive online and local multiplayer modes. Consider this 2.0 version of Tetris Effect with a multiplayer expansion. In summer 2021, the multiplayer expansion will be made available as a free update to the existing versions of Tetris Effect. Basically, you're getting online or local co-op and competitive play for 1 to 3 players, 1 to 2 competitive, 1 to 3 co-op with CPU players available. And there's some bells and whistles in there about that kind of stuff. Then the next console launch exclusive was The Gunk.
It looked cool.
It was the best name of the day.
Yeah, the name. It was. I liked it. I was getting some Ratchet vibes, which is always cool. I'd love more games like that. I didn't love the darkness of it all, and it was kind of just like, all right. Like, it seemed like one of those games that speaks to me, but it's not speaking loudly.
You're not going to play it, but you like what you see.
That's one that I want to actually give a shot, because if it plays right, then it's like I can move past the not really loving the art style.
Yeah, okay. the thing that bums me out about The Gunk is that on... is that The Gunk is, I think, equivalent on the Sony side to a lot of their sort of smaller offerings that we didn't know about, you know. And this was one of those that could have been a smaller title that kind of blew me away. The way I'm so bad with all the names of the smaller games, but
which one are you looking for?
The cartoony looking one with the dude and the two planes of action and it's the
Astro Boy or an old one? Astro Boy?
No. Chattel, no. It's
the little big
PlayStation 5. Kenna is one of them. Little Devil Inside. That's, you know, I feel like this was Xbox's equivalent of those Sony offerings, and those Sony offerings just looked much more interesting to me. So this, I was kind of bummed.
There's a specific game this reminds me of, and I'm trying to find the name of it, but it's like, it's the series with like the alien looking dudes, but it's like all gross. And it's like, there's a new one that was announced at the PlayStation event.
With little dudes.
Hold on, I'm going to find it. Once I, no.
These are some of the weirdest descriptions I've ever heard of games. Real quick, too.
It's a game series.
to be clear for what Andy's saying, Little Devil Inside, you said Sony offering. That was at their presentation. Little Devil Inside is coming to Xbox One as well.
Oh, great. Fantastic. Fantastic.
Oddworld. Oddworld is what I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, I can see it. I see what you're working on.
I like it.
The 25th game on my list is The Medium, another console launch exclusive. This is from the Bloober. This one I dug. Dual reality gameplay, two worlds rendered simultaneously. While we've been live, I got a press release. I dropped this paragraph in. The Medium renders two fully fledged and visually distinct worlds simultaneously with no loading screens. Having access to both worlds gives a unique perspective to the tension-fueled psychological horror game, as the dual reality gameplay with this visual fidelity only being possible on next-gen hardware.
Ooh. This is the only game that to me it screams next gen at all that we've really been seeing across both PlayStation and Xbox at this point. Like, it's this looks really, really rad, really, really cool, and it looks like a high quality offering, even though it's third party. Like, this looks like it has that juice, that has that special something that might sell people on next
and
gen.
sets it apart from current gen games for sure. It looked visually it was so strong looking.
Then Phantasy Star Online's getting new content, console launch exclusive. There it is. Snowbike Mike can't wait.
You hopping back in, Mike?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna hop back in for another anime concert. 100%.
Cool. There we go. Cool. The last one here before Fable, number 27, was Crossfire X single player content reveal for a console launch exclusive from Remedy, of course. And Snowbike Mike, you talked about this on the episode one of the debut episode of the XCast, that the multiplayer didn't do it for you, but Remedy being behind a single player campaign could. What did you think of this?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you read Remedy doing a single player, you know, game with something that you just played in Crossfire X off that beta, it has me interested. And I will say that trailer, no matter how we cut it, definitely got me interested of like, okay, let's try this out. Let's check this out. But I definitely will not play the multiplayer ever again. That was bad.
I thought the single to me, this was another game that the single player, granted, I don't know if it was in engine or whether it was just cutscene or you know, spruced up for this presentation, but the single player stuff looked very next gen to me. Lighting and particle effects, it looked like it couldn't run on a current gen hardware. That's a game that I want to play, the campaign of that. As someone who played through, you know, the recent Modern Warfare campaign, I love just small shooter campaigns that are going to be, give me a 6 to 10 hour, you know, experience, and I go through a story and I, you know, there's ups and downs and a cool protagonist. I'm down. Sounds cool.
Worth pointing out one thing too that's breaking over here. We talked about their Chapter 1 release date for Tell Me Why being August 27th. They've also confirmed Chapter 2 and 3. I guess maybe it's only 3. Do you know, Bless, off the top of your head?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think I remember this now. As
Chapter 2 is September 3rd. Chapter 3 is September 10th. So it's going to go boom, boom, boom.
That's
boom.
Awesome.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was talking about earlier. Weekly, with Game Pass. Get people in, get people used to that type of content where you're going to want to be subscribed for a long time, even if it is for smaller experiences, because then that'll lead into the Halos and the Gears and the Fables.
Yeah, that's fucking dope. I'm excited about that. That wrapped up the main thrust of the presentation. I think for their main show, not counting the pre-show, they counted it as 10 world premieres, 22 console launch exclusives, and they'll have more to share this year. So another presentation of some kind before they had a finale of Fable from Playground Games, which was just a trailer, was cute, and was just, but it's like, If that came in a vacuum where we knew nothing and that you had never heard that Playground Games was working on Fable, fuck yeah, place would have gone nuts. This was like cool, all right, it's confirmed finally, I guess, but it's not launch and it's not,
and it's not gameplay. More importantly, I think the fact that you can't really be surprised by a cute little cinematic thing that's a cutscene in a lot of games. Like I think if they would have shown gameplay, that would have probably made the room pop a little bit more. But the fact that it was just super short and that's all it was is kind of a bummer.
And with that, I think that one of the bits of criticism I have about the presentation of all this is put Fable at the front, put Halo at the back, if that's what you have for Fable. I think that I get starting it off with Halo because that was awesome and it definitely set the tone, but I feel like that tone was just never, with the exception of Avowed, I don't think ever really met at all throughout the rest of the thing, because it's totally the rule of threes, man. Beginning, middle, end. Like, you need to have boom, 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 and like ending on Fable, very cool, but like we all called that.
especially with the fact that, you know, when we're watching Halo in the first few minutes of this presentation, I thought it, and then Greg immediately said it, said, what does this end with? Or did Tim say it? I don't know who said it.
No,
it's me. But either way, it's like when I had that thought in my head, I was like, what do they end with, dude? Because like it's got to be something huge. And granted, it still is a big reveal, but it's always, you know, it's already been rumored and known for quite a while.
So we've talked a lot about this. I want to put this question in that came from Hip Hop Anonymous on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Greg, Tim, bless Andy and my boy Snow Bicycle Michael. What was your personal get hype Gatorade moment? Mine personally was the Halo map. Glad to finally have some Fable as well, but that video was not gameplay. So Halo wins because it was. I'm ready to play Halo now. Oh, much love, Chris from Philly. He left it in the blank space there, but he put it there. So everybody, what was your personal Gatorade get hype moment from this showcase? Mike, let's start with you.
We got to kick it off to Obsidian showing Avowed. Mm-hmm. I mean, unbelievable for that studio to come out with what we heard, what we knew. Of course, me being the Xbox insider for the team, did a lot of research on all of these studios, and I knew what they were doing. I knew what the next step was, but I did not think that they were going to show a lot of that. And so I'm really happy with Obsidian, what they showed. That's definitely the get hype moment. And like Tim said, right, we had a great beginning. No matter how you cut Fable, it was a good end. And right there in the middle, there's the tentpole for the peaks, the valleys, the peak, which is Avowed in the middle. So super happy with that.
Timothy, what was your get hype moment?
Ah, come on. It's Halo, baby. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's it, like I keep saying, it's what I want. It's what I want from this. And they gave it to me.
Andy.
Yeah, I'd have to go with Halo. I think starting off with it, I legitimately had tears in my eyes, like smiling from ear to ear. It's what we wanted. And I just can't wait to get my hands on that game. Avowed gets a close second as well.
Big Daddy bless.
It's Halo for me too. Like, they really sold me on Halo Infinite, and I knew it was going to happen. Like, I knew this is a game that I was going to need to play because it's the big, big launch title game. But everything they showed today, I got really excited about, like the open world, the shooting, the grappling hook, like all that stuff really, really worked on me. So I'm excited for that.
You're all cowards. The correct answer was State of Decay 3 or the Big Con. All right. Those were the real get hype. State of Decay 3 is the one I popped for. Halo, I look at, I'm like, I don't have a lineage with this, as you know, we're about to start today, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, Combat Evolved. But I was like,
man, I don't even remember the Big Con, Greg. Like, I know you talked about
it. Yeah, I don't remember it either. Honestly,
it was pre-show in the montage. Remember, I read it. It's an adventure game where you're a con artist who has to save your family's video store in the 90s. There's a bunch of cute screenshots.
I'm all about Milan Wonderland.
So, I understand that. I respect that. Tim, before when we transition out of Halo and pretty much end the show, since we've been talking about it for so long, what was this thing you sent Kevin that you wanted to show?
Well, first off, Greg, I do want to bring up that there might be ads that we need to read for this.
Oh, there's definitely ads. I'm not just ending the show. Right? I know how to fucking host my show, Tim.
You know what, dude? Sound like you're...
Kevin, mute him. Kevin, mute him. Don't mute
Kev, can you please bring up the tweets that I sent you? So, Nebellion over on Twitter tweets out, I think Halo Infinite looks decent in motion, but man... And then there's this screenshot. If you can just enlarge the screenshot, Kev. Then Rocco from Mega 64 quote tweets this and says, I really want Xbox to be cool, but I feel like I've been looking at the same screenshot for like 15 years now. And that is the most apt tweet you could possibly do, because that is so angry. Right, Andy? Like, look at this. Can you imagine flipping open your OXM magazine, looking at that shit, just being like, oh man, a new Halo's coming. And look.
That's hey, wait, real quick, Tim. Describe it for somebody who's an audio listener.
For someone that's an audio listener, this looks like Halo on Xbox, the original, if it was like up-resed being played on a modern console. Like, no way does this scream next gen or high tech or any of that stuff. I don't give a fuck. I don't care at all. That's not what this is about. Andy and I were talking earlier about the playground stuff and all that. There's a fun to Halo. There's something about it. And it's at this point, it's not the tech. It's not going to be pushing all that stuff. And does that suck to hear for their big triple, or I guess this isn't their quadruple A. Quadruple A is initiative. We'll have to wait for that. But for a triple A, like, it's Halo. It's like, man, it is kind of a bummer that I need to make these concessions, but I don't give a shit.
Well, I also think we got to keep in mind that this isn't a super enclosed linear story. I think when you get those smaller titles that are super straightforward, beginning to end, I think that's where you see more enhanced visuals. The fact that this is going to be a lot bigger of a game, and has to span a lot more space. And there's going to be, yeah, I always just compare single player Naughty Dog games to open world Assassin's Creed Ubisoft games. Like the environments will look pretty and we'll get awesome water and nice like sun rays, god rays through trees and shit. But then when it comes down to characters and character animation, that's where it's always a little bit lacking. But the pilot looked incredible. The pilot looked incredible.
I don't know. Did he? Like, I don't agree with what you're saying here, because like I feel like even comparing this to like Call of Duty, which I get giant budget and shit, but this is Microsoft's Halo, right? Like I feel like those are first person shooter titles that.
But like those are linear too, though.
They're linear, but I mean, so is Halo, and that's the thing. It's like this isn't going to be that big, even with the map they're showing. Like compare this to Gears 5. Gears 5 blows this out of the water, and it had its open moments for sure. That I imagine this will be as big as. I don't think it's going to be much bigger than that.
Do you feel like this could also be a symptom of the fact that they're having to get this to run on Xbox One also? Like, this is going to be available on all their Xbox platforms, you know, thus not being able to be that big of a jump. Because I feel like I'm still in the place where when it comes to the whole generations thing, like, I respect it for what they're doing because, like, on the service side, like, that's really working for them and that's really, like, it's an awesome thing, right? That on Xbox Game Pass, you're going to have so much access, whether you have an Xbox One or a PC or an Xbox Series X. But I also feel like this game can't end up looking that next gen or that much like a step up if it is going to be on the original Xbox.
It's x86 hardware. Like, it's PC. It's PC at this point. And you're going to have PCs with much better graphics cards that are looking gorgeous, and on lesser platform or on lesser PCs, it's going to look lesser because you're going to have a less powerful graphics card. Now, I think this screenshot isn't doing it any favors because the lighting is so direct on, and I think there will be other areas of this game that look prettier. But I mean, I do think that this. I don't think the screenshot looks great, but I think it's a bit of cherry picking as well.
I was going to say, in motion, I'm not going to give a shit. Like, watching it, I thought it looked great. And granted, we're watching it on a screen. It's artifact, but like when I'm in there shooting and playing, I'm going to have a great time.
I mean, my thing is, like, the point that I'm trying to make, and I as we've been watching this, I've been skimming through the 4K thing. Like, I disagree. Like, even in motion, it's like, this game doesn't look great. That's totally okay, because the art style's there. Like, that. My point is, it doesn't matter that this isn't going to be this technical behemoth, because it's going to be fun, and it's going to have an awesome art style. Yeah. In the same way that Breath of the Wild isn't the most technically beautiful game, whatever, but it's dope as fuck looking, because it has a great art style, and the game's awesome. Like, Halo Infinite looks awesome. It doesn't look technically awesome. That's fine. That's what we're going to get from this.
All right.
You know what? I don't want this game anymore.
Throw it in the trash.
I'm out, dude. I'm out.
Wow. That's
but I'll tell you, Andy, imagine how dope it's going to be when I pull up in the Warthog and you grappling hook onto the side of that and you're up on the side just shoot.
Come on.
Oh, baby. It's going to be so dope.
Jumping off the Warthog rocket launcher, dude.
Oh, come on, baby. So grappling hook back into the driver's seat. Oh, it's going to be so dope. Come on, Tim.
Tim, I'm excited for Halo Infinite and you guys to play it and go crazy and to have these crazy multiplayer moments and not let Nick play and have Nick get really mad. But Halo Infinite's still so far away. And so is the list. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about our sponsor, Klarna. Thanks to Klarna for supporting Kinda Funny Games Daily. In Sweden, they don't shop, they Klarna. Klarna is a revolutionary new online shopping app from Sweden that allows you to shop thousands of online stores and pay for anything in 4 easy, interest-free payments that make shopping smoother. With the Klarna app, you can shop anywhere online from one app. It's easy to use and convenient to browse thousands of online stores from one convenient place. You can pay for anything in 4 interest-free payments. Paying after delivery allows you to try before you buy, and you also can report returns directly in the app. You can also get the best deals with customized price drop alerts on items you've saved from your wish lists. It's always good to shop smarter and save money. That's why Tim's doing it. Tim loves how easy it is to find what he's looking for set it all up and get what he wants. True. Tim's Klarna in left and right, I hear.
Klarna.
Tim Klarna's while Gia clogs. Like, you know, the clogging shoes. Not like clogs a drain. Klarna is smoother, friendlier, Swedisher way to shop online. It's the one-stop shop app for browsing and buying anything online all in one app, and allows you to pay for anything in 4 easy interest-free payments. Download the Klarna app today. That's Klarna, K-L-A-R-N-A, Swedish for shopping. Tim, what's the list?
What is the list?
What's the list?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday. Okay. I don't know the list. I don't have the doc.
Out today, Crysis Remastered on Switch, Carry On on Xbox One, Switch, PC, and Mac, Roki on PC, Space Mouse 2 on PC, Gnomes and Co., The Art of the Build on PC, Science of Magic on PC, Against the Moon Prologue on PC and Mac, Germs on Switch, Epic Word Search Collection 2 on Switch, Alios Tournament on Switch, Quiplash on Switch, Sushi Reversi on Switch, Fibonacci on Switch, Desperados 3 is getting a free update today with new content, and then Dead by Daylight Mobile introduces a new mode, and the classic Ghostface outfit and exclusive cosmetics are featured in the update as well.
Carry On reviewing really well.
Oh yeah,
dude, I started playing it last night. It's almost like, actually, never mind. I was gonna spoil a different game to describe it, but basically, okay, it moves really cool. Like the way the thing moves.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I know where you're going with that.
It's like they played a certain other game where like we can make a whole game out of this, and yeah, they did, and it's awesome.
Because you're like a monster, right? That rolls through, grabs stuff, gets bigger, and gets all.
Yes,
gross.
Yeah,
exactly. I have a tweet here from Shinobi that is taking out excerpts from Miranda Sanchez's story here on IGN. Halo Infinite's open world has upgrades to discover, places to explore, new weapons to find. You can find that article at IGN.com, but it talks about how there's a day-night cycle on the ring. This open world area that we saw several hours into the campaign, there's a lot of freedom to explore. You can tackle missions and mission objectives in any order, and there is an upgrade system. You can find equipment out in the world, and that seems really cool. And I just want this game immediately.
Let's go. New dates for you, Arai and the Secret of Seasons, September 1 on PC, Switch, and PS4 and Xbox One. Then, deals of the day. There's a summer sale on the PlayStation Store. There's a summer sale on the Epic Game Store. And Spike Chunsoft over on Nintendo Switch is discounting all their titles from today through the 30th. That's 1 week. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we ask you to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Something went wrong there. Hold on. Do that.
And kind of in sports news, because this is interesting. Kind of in video game news, because Madden's going to have to update everything because of the Washington formerly called the Redskins. Yeah. Their team is just called the Washington Football Team for the time being.
Oh, interesting. Have they picked the name yet? What's going on with that?
No, well, they're thinking of the name, but right now, a temporary name that they're going with right now is just Washington Football Team. And they're at their Twitter handle is now just Washington NFL. And Madden is definitely kind of crunching right now to change all the assets and get everything updated for a future update for it'll be like a day one DLC sort of thing, or day one update.
Gotcha. Thank you very much. Here's some your wrongs for you. ALWT Gaming confirms I'm right that Solar Ash is a PlayStation console exclusive. Pytrocious says Nicholas Roy is the actor in Halo, the pilot in Halo Infinite. That wasn't something I wanted to discuss, but we don't even discuss it anymore. Alex Russier Syndicate says the Halo date was a few hundred days after the UNSC lost the war in the year 2560, 2 years after Halo 5. Don't know which war. The Banished have returned, so that ties in the ending of Halo Wars 2.
Yeah, a lot of shit about Halo Wars too. I just have to read about that.
Steve Jr. 1128 says Greg mentioned Dead State Drive in the ID Xbox montage. It's actually Dead Static Drive. Just a minor correction. Thank you. That was a misspeak on my part. I've played that game. Harris Foster works on that game. That's not you're wrong, Peter. That's an opinion. And then Charles Jacobson says Dragon Quest 11S Echoes of the Elusive Age Definitive Edition is also coming to PS4. Sorry if I made that sound like it was exclusive or left it ambiguous.
Somebody mentioned in chat, and please call yourself out because I've didn't see your name, but that Josh Sawyer from Obsidian is working on Avowed, and he was the project director and lead designer of Fallout New Vegas.
Which is exciting. Ladies and gentlemen, that's your show. Tomorrow will be me and Blessing doing this business. Ain't that right, Bless?
Yeah, who's hosting?
Huh?
Who's hosting?
You.
Me, okay, cool.
You're in charge. Sorry.
He's like, oh, dang.
I gotta wake up 30 minutes earlier.
Ladies and gentlemen, remember, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get the show ad-free. You can write into it. You can usually get a post-show. We're already super late into the day, though, and we just did 2 hours of reactionary content, so I'm going to make the audible to not do the post-show so Kevin can do his other show, and I can get ready for Halo, and Tim can get ready for Halo, and Andy can get ready for Halo. Woo! And maybe I can eat breakfast. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you have no bucks to toss our way, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. Everybody, if you've made it this far and you love all this Xbox content, remember, the Kinda Funny XCast is in the middle of its 6-week pilot program. Snow Mike, Mike, give the pitch.
All right, everybody. Y'all love Xbox as much as I do. Well, guess what? We're bringing it to you here at Kinda Funny with the official Kinda Funny XCast. That's right. Me, Gary Whitta, and Alana Pierce want to talk Xbox with you each and every week over the next course of 6 weeks. So please go out there, support it, check it out, and share some enthusiasm for video games with all of us, as of course you do have PlayStation. I love you, XOXO. And now you have Kinda Funny XCast. We'll see you there Saturday, 6 a.m. Be there.
Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.